Hey, yo, yo, yo. You listen to the Half Right Podcast.
All right, I'm in here.
All right. So I have my list. Pull my list back up. And then for each bullet point, you could give me your thoughts. And then that's about it. All right.
You do the intro.
Okay. Going in 3, 2, 1. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Half Right Podcast. Doing something new, being more consistent. We are going to be giving a go at the weekly podcast thing vibe. And we're going to be talking about WWE news because there's so much going on. And we're going to throw in some AEW because there's a lot of shit going on over there. So, Fonz, how you doing?
Good. Exciting week of wrestling. Clash at the Castle may have been my favorite pay-per-view of the year.
Wow. Don't get there. Don't get there too quick. We're going to get there.
But yeah, I like Clash at the Castle. I like the storyline development. And, you know, Raw was good. SmackDown, in my opinion, still has major work to do. But, you know, I'm going to give Triple H some time.
So speaking of Triple H, it was a big week for him. He was promoted to Chief Content Officer, the CCO, where he will oversee creative writing, talent relations, live events, talent development, and creative services. And in addition to his promotion, Shawn Michaels was promoted to Senior VP of Talent Development Creative, where he will continue to oversee NXT in addition to being in charge of the development of talent and WWE's developmental brand, which makes total sense. So for all those still wondering if Triple H is really doing all that he does, this promotion proves to you all that he is. I mean, this man is out here giving interviews. He is out here putting in the work. We are seeing the best of the best. SummerSlam, I wouldn't really count that as his pay-per-view because, you know, that was really more of what Vince put together. But for Clash at the Castle to be, you know, his first real pay-per-view, I think he blew it out the water.
Yeah, me too. I think, just like you said, SummerSlam was Vince's ideas and Vince's storylines, and all Triple H was really able to do was tweak it, because I believe that go-home show into SummerSlam was Triple H's first in charge. So, you know, a week isn't enough to change nothing. Right now isn't enough time to change anything, so that's why I'm saying I'm giving Triple H time. Excuse me, but I like Clash at the Castle. I like the storylines. Of the in-ring work of Clash at the Castle was really up to par. I feel like the roster seems more motivated now, like from an in-ring perspective. I don't know if you've noticed that, but
it's definitely been a shift for sure.
Yeah, a shift in morale because, you know, Vince, he had been around for so long. You know, sometimes you don't want to keep hearing the same voice, especially when that voice is just making bad decision after bad decision. You know, I feel like in Vince's WWE, he was real big on pushing theory. You know, not much like the storylines revolved around theory. Mm-hmm. And I feel like theory is good, but he's not good enough for you to build a whole show around him the way that you could do it with Roman, or you could do it with Seth, or you could do it with KO, or you could do it with Becky Lynch and Charlotte and Sasha and Bayley. I feel like Theory never needed all those segments that he was getting in the Vince McMahon era. So I like the way that they're using him now, because he is an up-and-comer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just one of the things that I noticed from Vince McMahon's WWE. There was clearly no respect on the women's tag team titles. But like you said, we'll get to a lot of this stuff later.
We're going to get to all Clash at the Castle, but Triple H, he did an interview recently with BT Sport, and the rumor of Brock Lesnar leaving when Vince McMahon announced his retirement was not a rumor. It was actually true. Did you see that?
Yeah, I heard about it, but I always believed it to be true. Because I feel as though, you know, he left when Vince retired or whatever, you know, but Brock has always been a big Vince guy. So, you know, he's going to stick by Vince because he looks at him as like, you know, a lot of these young guys who came up in the Vince McMahon, Ruthless Aggression, Attitude area, era, a lot of them view Vince as like a father figure. Mm-hmm. You know, they see the good that he's done and the way that he's changed their lives. So, you know, what Vince is accused of doing is stuff that, come on, everyone's known Vince McMahon as a dog for years, but seemed like Brock was going to stand by him. But I also believe in the Triple H's WWE. The need for Brock is not, you know, the same. Vince doesn't, Triple H is not going to have the same need for Brock that Vince McMahon did because Triple H is busy creating new stars, mm-hmm. you know? So I feel like Brock should still be used as an attraction, but you know, when he walked out, I don't know if he can, if he'll walk out on a Triple H led product and get the same ass kissing that he might have gotten by walking out on a Vince McMahon led product.
Right.
You know, at that time, you had to bring him back. You had to get him back because that had already been announced as the main event of SummerSlam and you were less than 2 weeks out. So, you know, I mean, Brock left. Brock's loyal to Vince, but I always believed that story to be true. So it wasn't a shock to me when Triple H confirmed it.
I just thought it was funny because for everyone saying, Brock didn't walk out, he's still there. It's like, yeah, he left and he came back. Y'all know how many hours it was. They don't just show up at 8 o'clock, everybody. They've been there for hours. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of what happened this week. You had Worlds Collide because we know that NXT UK is now over. It's going to be NXT Europe starting in 2023. So basically all the titles that were in NXT UK are now unified with the NXT titles. Mandy Rose kept her titles. Bron Breakker kept his title. The tag team, Casey, I forgot her new name, but the girls are still the tag team champs. I know Pretty Deadly, they're the tag team champs now. So some things did get switched around. Ricochet is popping up on NXT. So interesting things happening over there. But getting to Clash at the Castle, the Saturday show, shout out to the fans in attendance because they were on 10 the entire night. So getting into the matches in no particular order, Fond, all of your predictions were right, by the way. Edge and
Mysterio. I think I was wrong. I was wrong on the main event.
You were wrong on the main event.
Yes, I was.
I was right on the main event. You were wrong on the main event, but everything else was right. So we have Edge and Rey Mysterio versus the Judgment Day. Edge and Rey won, and then Dominic turned heel. You had a lot to say in the prediction show about Dominic turning heel. If he could turn heel, because you didn't feel like he was serious enough to do that. But I told you it was coming. I told you it was coming. The match that didn't really do much for me, Liv Morgan retained against Shayna Baszler. Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka were defeated by, what's their name? Damage Control, Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky. The Riddle and Seth Rollins match, fire. So Seth Rollins won that, which we expected because he did lose 0-3 to Cody Rhodes during their feud. And then for the Intercontinental Championship, we were all unanimous in Gunther retaining against Sheamus. They beat the hell out of each other. I will say that match kind of went on too long and they were getting fatigued, especially on Gunther's end, you could tell. And Imperium reunited, Triple H over here hitting the undo button on what Vince has done. And then for the main event, you and Max said that Drew was going to win. I said Roman was going to retain. I also said that I don't think Roman needs the titles anymore. But Roman won the title. He kept the title because a new person has joined the bloodline. And it was only a matter of time before this person came up to the main roster. And that is Solo Sikoa. So what was your favorite match? And what are your thoughts on Clash at the Castle in general?
First of all, I just want to take the time to, the way that I publicly ridiculed Dominic Mysterio, I want to publicly apologize to him, because the heel turn was fire, okay? All it took was one night with the Judgment Day for me to say, you know what? I take him serious now. You know, like, everybody can relate to their dad pissing them off and, you know, wanting to give their dad a fucking clothesline. So, turn was done perfectly well. But what I was thinking was, oh, Rey and Dominic will fight at WrestleMania. But the way that this storyline is going, that inevitably could still happen. They could stretch it out that long with different things being done. Maybe Rey getting taken out for a little bit. But Dominic in his all black standing next to the Judgment Day, I feel like he accomplished more with them on one night than he has the past year with his father.
I agree.
The Judgment Day is a better fit for him. You have Rhea Ripley, who's also young, but has been a women's champion. Finn Balor's been a universal NXT champion. And you have Damian Priest. So you really have them have him under the tree of someone else. He's getting a different voice in his ear now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's worked. Finn is one of the best in the ring, hands down. Damian Priest is good, and Rhea's amazing. So the heel turn for Dominic, I really like, because it's like, Dominic's the reason you guys won the match, and I saw it coming, because all Edge and Rey are doing is selling with each other, but it's like, Dominic really won you guys the fucking match.
Do you know what's so crazy, though, is that Max called it from the very beginning. Max Powers, he said that he, for those that are just tuning in, Max is our third co-host. He said, oh, they're not matching. Dom is going to go heel tonight. And I'm like, they don't have to match. It's okay. He's going to match Edge. He's like, nah, he's going to go heel. Watch. And then they get in the ring together. He said, it's about to happen. And I'm like, you're right. I think it's going to happen, because Rey went and raised Edge's arm or whatever. They're raising arms and they turn around. I mean, the low blow was a little questionable. He got him. When we saw the replay, we were like, okay, he did get him. But that clothesline, like you said, wanting to knock the shit out of your parents sometime, especially between a son and a father wanting to knock the shit out of them, he did that. He knocked the shit out of his daddy. And then on Raw, Ray's over here trying to talk to him and looking at him, trying to muscle him down. And it's like, Ray, it's not working. So I would love to see them fight in the future. But I think the match with Edge might happen first.
Yeah, but I don't really feel the need to see Dominic in the ring right now. You know, I feel like he should continue to work on his craft. They could keep him on TV, but they need to keep him out the ring for a little bit. Because I do feel in-ring-wise, he needs to improve, and he's not going to be able to wrestle that same style. He's got to start wrestling like a heel, you know? So I think we should just see him hanging with the Judgment Day, but not really fighting. You understand what I'm saying?
Just there, interfering if need be, doing whatever they tell him to do. But most importantly, let's not rush this feud, because this right here is something special. You don't usually get fathers and sons fighting, okay? You don't usually get them in the ring at the same time. So this is something that's really, really special, and I hope they don't rush this. And because Triple H is into long-term storytelling and all that good stuff, this could be a very good thought-out thing if they do push this to Mania. The Hollywood Mania is looking to shape up to something really big, y'all. Really big.
Yep. And there's just a couple more things I want to hint on real quick. I predicted Damage Control would win, but I said that Bianca wouldn't take the pin, because I don't like champs getting pinned, especially not Bianca. You know, like, you don't see Roman during his reign ever get pinned. So people are like, oh, Bianca hasn't lost all year. She shouldn't have took the pin to Bayley.
It's been 1,000 days. It's been 1,000 days since Roman has been pinned.
Yes, so I feel like your top women's champ, which is Bianca, because it's not Liv, Bianca should have never gotten pinned.
But here's the thing about her getting pinned, that they kind of can use this to their benefit. And when she came out on Raw, she touched on it. She said, Bayley, you didn't pin me. It took all three of y'all to pin me.
Yes, yes. Okay, that and
so because it took the three of them to take her out, it can slide. Yeah, it can slide okay. In my book.
Okay, okay.
Bailey didn't just hit her with some stupid ass Bailey to belly and pin her. It took all three of them bitches running roughshod on her to take her out. So I think that one can slide. I think it can slide.
All right. I agree with you there. I don't want to see Bianca get pinned ever, but damage control and Bailey needed to get the pin. I do agree with that. And another match I want to touch on, Riddle and Seth was fired, just like you said. Gunther and Sheamus, I think it could have went like 5 minutes shorter, but they were amazing. Like, that was an amazing, like, sometimes you watch wrestling and it's not about the flips and high-flying moves. It's about these two men are going to wrestle stiff and they're going to make it look like they're really beating the hell out of each other. And from the looks of them at the end of the match, those are real red marks. You can't fake those.
No, so, not at all.
You know, that was a good physical match.
Sheamus, it was a slugfest.
Sheamus deserves his flowers. Sheamus is one of the greatest of this generation. Sheamus is a Hall of Famer. Sheamus has, throughout his career, put on banger after banger after banger. You know, whether it was the tag team with the Bar, his run as World Heavyweight Champion, Sheamus really doesn't miss. And especially since Sheamus has, you know, broken off from Cesaro a couple years ago, I feel like Sheamus is in-ring work. I don't really watch bad Sheamus matches. Like, you can put him in there with anybody. He can wrestle any style. So I just want to salute Sheamus.
Shout out to Sheamus. And shout out to Gunther for getting his Imperium back.
Yes, I love that, because as I called you when it happened, I never thought that they should have just brought Gunther and Kaiser up by themselves, because, you know, what is his name now? Da Vinci?
Yeah, Giovanni Vinci, whatever.
Giovanni Vinci. He should have been brought up with them in the first place.
Yeah.
It should have never been him and NXT with another gimmick, which I did, to be honest, I like. But him and Imperium, there's a lot of places Imperium can go.
A lot. And I like the fact that he has the title, you know, the Intercontinental Championship still, bringing legitimacy back to the title. It'll be interesting whoever he gets to go up against him next. But, I mean, Sheamus was a great opponent, and I wouldn't mind if they ran it back.
All right, but I have a question for you, okay?
Yeah.
Now we go to the main event, right? Because, like you said, Liv, Shane, and nothing special. Announced yesterday it's going to be Ronda and Liv at Extreme Rules. Cool. Whatever.
Yes, Ronda's talking to Shayna about vengeance. Yeah.
Yeah, Ronda's gonna get her lick back, okay? anyway, we're going to talk about the main event, right? So, Solo Sikoa, right? Which was a shock to me, because I'm thinking, how do you have Roman beat Drew clean in his neck of the woods? Like, and it's visible from the start of the match. He comes out with his two belts. He don't got Paul Heyman selling the injuries from SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. The Usos and Sami Zayn done got fucked up the night before on Friday Night SmackDown.
Yeah.
So he's by himself. And then when I see Solo Sikoa, I'm like, okay, this is perfect. The way they debuted him.
And they kept the knee brace on him, whether the knee is a legitimate injury or not. They kept the knee brace on him because that's how they wrote him off of NXT.
You know what? I was you're more of an NXT fan than me. I couldn't tell you the last time I really watched NXT. It's just not really my cup of tea. I do like Bron Breakker and Mandy Rose. I feel like they're both ready for the main roster, though. Mandy's already been on the main roster, but Bron Breakker's ready to get called up.
Yeah, but that's what happened there. That's why he has the knee brace on. So I don't know if it's actually legitimate or not.
But
that's that long-term storytelling I'm talking about.
Okay, see, I didn't know that. But now, see, I really like that, because a lot of time they call dudes up to the main roster and forget NXT was never a thing that even really existed.
Right.
But Solo Sikoa, what I'm thinking now is, the Bloodline, they all got gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sammy, we talked about this earlier today on the phone. Sammy's going to end up getting the shit beat out of him. bludgeoned. It's going to be sad. He's going to literally be destroyed. Literally destroyed.
He's going to get jumped so bad.
Do you think as this bloodline story goes on, because I'm hearing, Roman is expected to hold the titles through the end of the year, at least up until the Royal Rumble. Do you see Solo Sikoa winning the IC title? Or the United States title? Do you see him get, because you know they don't give a fuck about the brand split. Do you see Solo Sikoa winning an Intercontinental or U.S. title? Because the whole bloodline has gold. Do you see him winning one of those?
I could see him winning the U.S. over the Intercontinental.
You don't see Triple H letting Solo Sikoa take it off of Gunther?
No.
I do.
Not clean.
But what I'm saying is, you know, it's a brawl between Solo Sikoa and his big brothers versus Imperium, and some wacky shit happens, and Solo Sikoa ends up pinning Gunther. I could see that happening because I think the bloodline is going to end up with all the gold.
That's valid enough. Now, you know who they need. They need to get a female. I don't think for them to have all the gold and for Triple H to really be invested in the women's division, take someone like Tamina, or since you have honorary people in the family, Sammy, we know it's a joke, but if you have honorary people in the family, Naomi is in the family by marriage. I'm just saying you could put the belt on people.
I'm gonna give you, I like the suggestions you came up with. Tamina, I love Tamina, but that doesn't really do much for me. But she's good in the ring, so I feel like you put her with her cousins and her
exactly.
Family.
I'm just saying the familial relation solely based off the family.
Naomi is one of those people I love as a baby face. I don't think she's believable as a heel.
Honestly, she's not believable because she doesn't like being a heel.
Yeah, she's a phenomenal baby face.
But just think, with everything going on, we could just see a different side. This is not like when she was in Team Bad and we were getting, you know, forced Naomi heel. She actually could just have some gripes. She might have something that she wants to get off her chest.
I'm gonna give you one name out of left field.
Okay.
Who is no longer with the company and been wilding on Twitter since she's been released.
Oh,
Nia Jax. Listen, I'm not the biggest Nia, but you see all these people getting brought back. Nia Jax, if they really added a woman to the bloodline, would be the perfect choice.
Because
Nia's also got the size where she can interfere. She's similar to Rhea in many ways.
Yes.
She can interfere in men's matches.
Uh-huh.
You know, and she could. Seeing Nia Jax manhandle a smaller superstar on the roster is believable. Like, seeing Nia Jax beat up Sami Zayn, believable, you know?
Could you imagine if that's how they brought her back? See, now you got my wheels turning. Now my wheels are turning.
I don't know. Nia, she was salty about getting let go by WWE. I believe it had something to do with the vaccine. So I don't know if they would revisit that. But listen, if you want to bring a woman into the bloodline, that would be my first choice. And Nia pisses me off. throughout her career, some of the things she's done,
she's
reckless in the ring.
She's a little reckless.
If you could take her to the performance center and teach her how to, you know, work without hurting her opponent, because one of the a girl who's similar to her in size and weight is Doudrop. Oh. And there's been multiple videos of Doudrop literally saving her opponents from what could have been an injury. Mm-hmm. Like, Doudrop takes very good care of her opponents in the ring. So Nia should take some advice from her. But overall, I think Clash of the Castle was amazing. Solo Sikoa got me hyped. The ending was dumb as shit with Tyson Fury.
Supposed to be on air.
Oh, it wasn't?
They thought that they were off air. That's why Drew said, oh, we're still on air? anyway. So yeah,
I don't know how you let something like that happen, WWE.
I don't know. I didn't need karaoke with Tyson Fury. And, yeah. I didn't need it.
I mean, it was funny watching Theory get beat up. Like, it's to the point where Theory just gets
Tyson knocked the shit out of him. Oh my God, that was so funny.
But yeah, I liked Clash at the Castle. What are some of your match card predict? Like, what do you think is going to happen at Extreme Rules? Because from what I've heard, Roman isn't expected, I don't think, to fight again until Survivor Series.
Okay, which makes sense because that's the next pay-per-view.
Roman is going to fight at the Saudi show that they do in November.
Oh, they're doing two in November?
Yeah, they're going to hold another Crown Jewel, I believe.
Oh. Because then that would be two pay-per-views in November. See, I don't like when they do stuff like that. Like, it's too much. It's too much. A pay-per-view every month is pretty much too much.
No, I like a pay-per-view every month. I'm cool with it.
Depending on the storylines. But when you're running... Okay, we're in a new regime, so I'm going to let it slide. Let me see. November 5th, apparently.
November 5th, where are they going?
That's the Saudi. And then Survivor Series. Let's see when Survivor Series is. Is that? Okay, so that's 26 in Boston. The 26. Okay. I don't know what they're going to do with that, but all right. You know what could really make this work is that if, you know, you have your feuds or whatever at the Saudi show, because they're going to try to compete with Clash at the Castle with that one. But I think the Survivor Series one should really focus on teams.
Yeah, but I think it should focus on teams. But what I don't think should happen that we've seen in the years past, the brand stuff is played out now.
No, it needs to be like superstar, like old school. I'm putting you on my team. Like, you give someone a captain and they can choose whoever they want.
Yeah, and it could be, yes. I 100% agree with that.
That's what needs to happen.
Because superstars change brands so regularly now, and the brand split really doesn't exist. You could really have your traditional man elimination match and your traditional women's elimination match.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the five-man main event could be, hell, who knows, Team Bloodline, but, you know, it's usually a five-man thing. Shit, if you stretch Sammy out into the Bloodline long enough, you have five men.
I don't know how he would fit into Survivor Series. I didn't know that they were doing another Crown Jewel.
You don't see Roman fitting into Survivor Series.
No.
But Survivor Series is part of the Big Four pay-per-views.
I know it's part of the Big Four, but I'm saying, like, team-wise, unless he's just there, I don't see him actually fighting.
So you wouldn't... Okay.
I can see them doing, like... Because you're talking about predictions for Extreme Rules, I could definitely see the Karrion Kross and Drew McIntyre. That match is
going to, that's scheduled.
That match is happening.
From what I've read, that's scheduled to main event.
Okay. See, that makes sense. Because you're not going to have Roman on the show. He's the champ. Why is he on Extreme Rules? We don't need that. It's fine. We just saw him. But I think that if you were to even do something like a Karrion Kross team versus the Drew McIntyre team.
Okay. That could work. But like I said, I see Roman doing both shows in November. I see him doing Crown Jewel. I see him doing Survivor Series. Survivor Series is, you know, the biggest pay-per-view of the fall.
I just don't know. It's too far out.
It's too far out. But I also see Roman doing both shows. He'll take Extreme Rules off. Then after Extreme Rules is scheduled for October.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Extreme Rules, and then we got Crown Jewel.
They're basically a month apart.
Okay, because we got some time
October 8th.
We've got some time for that is actually me and Joyce's anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, 3 years, long time. Anyway, not that long. Anyway, We got some time before Extreme Rules, now that I'm looking at it.
Exactly. So much can happen in between now and then. And then to even try to predict what's going to happen in November, I think it's too soon.
I do want to give Triple H credit for one thing that he's been doing. I like the presentation of Ronda Rousey. You know, Ronda has long been, everybody knows, one of my favorites. Just like UFC Ronda way more than WWE. But I like the way she's being presented. Like, Ronda don't give a shit about nobody. You know, that should be her character. Mm-hmm. Like, going around beating people up. I loved how she paid her fine and money. Like, Ronda Rousey's a badass. Keep her talking short and sweet, okay? Keep her, like, don't have her go out there on the mic and have her cut a 5-minute promo. Keep her words short.
I will say, though, the promo that old dude cut on her, he has some points.
Oh, he definitely did. And then, he got his arm
fucked up in the process, but he ate her up with that one. Yeah, he did that. He killed her on that one. She was just like, oh, really? Really? That's what you really think? Yes. That's what I think. You're a total bitch. That was so funny. So we got time. There's so much to build between now and Extreme Rules now and Survivor Series now and Saudi. So this fall, and the way Triple H is moving, we're going to have some fun. And Johnny Gargano, with him being back, expect him to be in the mix. It's only a matter of time before he puts him in a match with Theory. Only a matter of time. It's coming. So he's been hinting at certain things. But I want your thoughts on the biggest return of the week, Braun Strowman. There's mixed reviews. Personally speaking, I don't like how they brought him back. I thought it was random. I actually think it was kind of stupid that they brought him back in the 4-way tag team title contender match. I don't know why. And they still doing the whole get these hands type of thing. He's still the monster among men. But what are your thoughts on Braun Strowman's return?
Didn't our co-host last episode predict that he thought Braun would
He did say Braun Strowman was going to come back.
Yes. Which, you know, I was a good prediction. It was believable. But I don't know. Like I told you guys, unless Braun is a heel, I like Braun as a heel. Because Braun is a massive human being. I don't really find myself rooting for people who are that big. You know, like,
right.
Heels should be that size. So if we go back into Braun just tearing shit up, you know, I could see a feud that I could really see happening and them revisiting, and I feel like would be good because it was good the first time when Bobby really wasn't hot either. It's Bobby versus Braun.
But the thing is with that and why it may not happen is because he's apparently on SmackDown. That's why this whole brand thing, it's like, y'all got to stop saying who's on what show because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Okay. Oh, you know what? That didn't make no sense to me either because I'm like, Braun's on SmackDown. Why the hell did he return on Raw?
Exactly.
Back in the day, if you returned on a show, you were on that show.
Right.
Like years ago when Chris Jericho returned and got into it with Randy Orton, he didn't return on SmackDown and then the next Monday say he was on Raw, you know?
Right.
So if you wanted to have a big return, and SmackDown, a show that's lacking, could have used a big return of Braun Strowman. It could have meant a little bit more. But the Braun Strowman YouTube video of him returning has, I believe, 4 million views. So people like Braun Strowman, regardless of how I feel about him. People are fans of him.
Good for them. I just thought it was random how they brought him back. And then speaking of SmackDown, Pat McAfee, my favorite, is taking a hiatus from the announce table. We're stuck with Corey Graves and Michael Cole. He's leaving. He's taking a sabbatical for ESPN's College Game Day. He did not get the best of reaction from fans on Twitter. They thought that he was leaving WWE high and dry. Pat McAfee has the Pat McAfee Show where he talks about football 99.9% of the time. What did you guys expect him to do? this is an opportunity of a lifetime. He's gonna go where the bag is. Shout out to Pat. Best of luck to him. And I hope he actually comes back. Because Corey Graves, I don't need him. They got to find somebody else. Because I don't need to see Corey twice a week.
I like Corey. But just like you said, I don't know who else.
I don't hate Corey. But I don't need him twice a week.
Who else are they going to put in that position, though, Lakia, since you don't need Corey twice a week?
Oh,
if you
God.
Can't find a replacement, I don't think you can say that you don't need Corey twice a week.
I don't know.
Exactly.
You want get somebody. Want, this would have been the perfect time if Samoa Joe was still in WWE.
That is the only name I could think of. And once I thought of Samoa Joe,
to put him back on the table.
Thought how he's no longer employed by WWE, you know.
That's the only one I could think of. It could be worse. If this was Vince McMahon, he would have brought in Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah, yo, I was thinking. You want Jerry the King Lawler? You want Booker T? Give me Corey.
If this was Vince, he definitely would have pulled in a Hall of Famer. We probably would have got JBL for a couple weeks. We would have got Jerry the King Lawler for a month. We would have got Booker T thrown in the mix. It would have been a Hall of Famer special. I'll take Corey Graves then, if that would have been the latter. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we don't really have many options right now.
Oh my gosh, we don't. There's not much options.
And all these fans talking about, you know, he left WWE high and dry. Shut the fuck up. Like, some people are so fucking weird. The man is going to go do College Game Day. If you heard him on his show, he said that the plan was that he thought, you know, he wanted to do both, but WWE actually suggested that, you know, doing SmackDown and then flying to College Game Day wouldn't be good for his health, and it wouldn't be good for his family life. So, you know, during the football season, you're going to lose Pat McAfee. The national championship usually happens around, you know, a little bit before the Royal Rumble. So by the Rumble, we'll have Pat McAfee back. We could lose him for a couple of months.
Yeah,
you know?
Michael Cole said he'd be back by the end of the year. I don't think that's how the college football works, but he gonna be back by the big one. He's gonna be back by the big one.
Yeah, so, you know, he'll be back by the Royal Rumble. And fans, some wrestling fans need to get fucking lives. Because the way that they obsess and feel about these wrestlers is just weird to me, especially the ones who are grown-ass men. Now, that is very suspect in my eyes. But moving on to wrestling fans, have we finished covering WWE?
We're done.
Let's move on to these AEW fucking weirdos. Because AEW, their fans are something else, okay? Their fans are...
Oh, wait. Pause. LA Knight is coming back? LA Knight is coming back?
Breaking news. Lakia thinks LA Knight is coming back.
I just happened to go on Twitter and they said...
And he's trending.
And they said LA Knight is coming back. They're teasing it.
I want LA Knight back, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I do too.
LA Knight is, you know...
Okay, I like that. So that's cool. LA Knight. That might be in the news next week, y'all. That might be in the news next week.
LA Knight. Now let's move on to these
AEW.
Excuse me, fans, of the Half Right Podcast. If you're listening right now, I am turning on my TV, which I will then mute immediately. Alabama and Texas are locked in a tight one right now.
Oh, you know.
Number one team in the country, Bama, is almost going to lose to Texas. They're up 17-16. So as we finish the pod, I'm going to see what's going on over here. I was watching it. I stopped. Surprised that it's still this close. Don't know what the spread is. But, yeah, Lakia, let's get into these AEW weirdos.
Okay. So here's the story from what I have been able to piece together. CM Punk. This baffles me, by the way. The whole thing with AEW baffles me. So give me a minute to just say what I have to say. AEW had their all-out show, right? Sunday. Okay. CM Punk fought John Moxley. Took the belt off of John Moxley. They had a press conference after. CM Punk was talking shit. I personally don't know what he said. I just know that there was some jabs at some executives. Now, this is what happens where you have executives be talent as well. The line gets blurred, okay? It's a blurry line there. So CM Punk was running his mouth, talking shit. Then you have some people by the name of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks run up on his locker room, apparently, and were, like, trying to get the door down, you know, like, oh, you talking shit? You want to talk shit? Come outside. So CM Punk had his man with him. I don't know what his guy's name is, but his
Ace Steel. I've never heard of that motherfucker before.
But he had Ace Steel with him, right? So it turns out to be a brawl. Somebody got clipped in the eye with a chair. Somebody got bit, and everyone suspended, and the titles were vacated. So two questions here. Okay, I didn't watch it. Because I'm not into no press conference after. I thought it was weird that WWE had one after. Why?
Yeah. I feel like WWE did that because they were in a different, somewhere where they haven't been in so long with
okay,
the major
fine.
Show.
Yeah. Okay,
so
fine. Let's go with that.
I understand why WWE did it. WWE don't do one after WrestleMania or SummerSlam. That was a special occasion. AEW does these shits all the fucking
time.
Okay,
see, I don't know why. I don't know why there was a press conference. This is not a basketball game or a football game.
This is where
Tony Khan needs to be a boss. Okay? Because as soon as CM Punk started running his mouth and he was like dead ass about it, for real serious, you should have shut the whole shit down. Because there has to be a level of professionalism. Regardless of what you feel about the bosses and the powers that be, you have to have that respect there. Tony Khan is not a boss. He's a fan and posing as a boss. He is the fan. He is the kid that goes to the wrestling events with his friends and buys everybody something because he can. He's not a boss. Because a boss, say what you want to say about Vince McMahon, but you don't hear about people just walking up and talking shit like that to him. You don't hear about that. So Tony Khan needs to be a boss. They tried to cover their ass, even though this was a great way to make money with everything that happened. And then the other thing that doesn't make sense to me, why would you vacate the titles for a fight, but when the champion is injured, it becomes a unified situation, they can still hold it? Can you explain that to me? Because that don't make sense. So those are my two questions. What are your thoughts? And then the whole thing with the vacated title. I don't get it.
My thoughts on the whole situation is, I agree with what you said. Tony Khan, I felt this way from the start. You can't have an executive positions. Like, I feel like it's a difference. With WWE, Triple H was part of, you know, the team. Vince McMahon was overseeing it. But it had been a system. And Triple H was semi-retired. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Young Bucks are on TV. Kenny Omega is on TV. Mm-hmm. I believe that they should be suspended because Tony Khan's got to put his foot down. He's got to realize my employees are not my friends. They work for me. Okay, mm-hmm. So the suspension, he needs to suspend them for a while, put his foot down, and he needs to strip the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega of their EVP titles and just tell them, you know what, you guys are wrestlers. I'm all for wrestlers getting creative freedom and stuff like that, but strip them of their power. Tell them they're no longer executive vice presidents.
Because it was abused.
It was abused.
Granted, yes, you were provoked, but for CM Punk to be running his mouth like that, what was y'all doing behind the scenes?
Yes, exactly. CM Punk was also wrong, though, because CM Punk, he does this thing where he talks too fucking much.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't shut. He talks way too fucking much. Like, you're up there talking about Colt Cabana and shit. Who the fuck asked you about Colt Cabana? Shut the hell up. Like, it seems like CM Punk has failed to find happiness in his life away from WWE. Even though he's not talking about WWE as much anymore, because don't get me wrong, he still talks about them a lot. he has failed to find the happiness that WWE gave him.
I think he's also failed to find the success.
Yes, the success. Because no matter how big you are in AEW, you'll never be as big as you were in WWE.
And nine times, to be honest, most of the people that were cheering you back is because they discovered you in WWE.
Yes, yes. And we were among them. We were happy when CM Punk was back. I tweeted the wrestling world missed you, which it did. But I feel like comebacks are bigger in WWE. Because I don't want to sound like we're some WWE marks, because we do mainly talk about WWE on this show. But WWE is bigger than AEW.
It is. Without question.
And
without question, if CM Punk would have came back to the WWE, the internet would have broke. And that's not even like trying to like super hype the thing. No. If they would have been able to get CM Punk to come back to WWE after all the shit they went through, come on. Come on. Would have been over on Twitter. What?
I will say one person from AEW I do like a lot is MJF, man. He's one of the best heels in wrestling. That promo he cut on Wednesday, straight fire. But what Tony Khan also doesn't realize, I think, is you created this company as an alternative to WWE, as an alternative for your performers. And for you to be dealing with this is not good for, like, locker room morale and none of that. And to be honest with you, since CM Punk home, like he did, CM Punk is injured. It's crazy to think that CM Punk has had two reigns as AEW world champion and pretty much had to give up both of them because of injury.
Which brings me back to my question. How is this situation resulting in a vacating of the titles? But when he was injured, he got to keep it. Please make it make sense. I don't get it.
Really doesn't, man. Like, we spoke about this a while ago. Vacating titles is stupid, okay? Vacating titles is dumb as hell. But, I mean, I think what happened this time is before, CM Punk can't control getting injured. So, you know, interim, keep the title on him. It's stupid either way. But in this incident, you're taking the titles off of him as punishment. Punk was going to have his vacated anyway, because he's torn his pec, and, you know, that's usually a 6 to 8 month recovery. And Punk is older and has, you know, been banged up. I mean, we also have to, at this point, ask the question, can CM Punk's body handle wrestling anymore?
No.
Can CM Punk's body, and you see a lot of wrestlers, CM Punk's never been known as no workout warrior, you know, like no Bobby Lat. He's not the most built human being. So we see in WWE, like, a guy like Edge, he's not fighting every week, you know. Granted, he's had neck injuries, but when you get into that 40 plus range, you shouldn't be on TV fighting every month, you know, like, because wrestling is a physical, you know, people, fake wrestling fans may call it, you know, fake, but you know, it's real hurt on the body. So I don't think his body can take the damage that, you know, wrestling is doing to it anymore.
I think the high of the CM Punk return has faded. I don't need him to be champion anymore. After what I've seen, from what I've seen of AEW, they have some interesting stuff going on over there. Don't get me wrong.
AEW has a great amount of talent, a big amount of talent, in my opinion.
That being said, with the talent that you brought over initially, respect them. Yes. Stop trying to continue to build and squash the homegrown type of talent by taking people from WWE and trying to make them into the... It's not the same, man.
Yes, don't. And I'm going to be real. Stop disrespecting the performers who have been there from day one by bringing in ex-WWE guys and giving them all this shine. But, you know, that's going to stop anyway, because the ex-WWE guys aren't going to be available, because I believe that Triple H is going to do what he did when he was running NXT, and he's just going to start stockpiling talent again.
Yeah.
So, you know, have you heard Malakai Black, formerly known as
Yes.
Aleister Black, is has been granted his release.
Yes. I could see him coming back.
But there's something in it called AEW talks all this shit about WWE holding. AEW fans talk all this shit about WWE holding fans hostage. But, you know, Malakai Black is, I believe, under a no-compete clause as well, which I have no issue with wrestling companies doing, but don't get mad at WWE for doing it when AEW does it.
I think that I've always, now looking at it in hindsight, I think that having all this talent to be able to shuffle through gives everyone a time to rest.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
Before, especially during the pandemic, you know, you had the select few that you were seeing all the time. Roman wasn't wrestling during the pandemic. He came back at the very end first, you know, SummerSlam. So shout out to all the superstars that were actually putting in the work during the pandemic and giving us the entertainment because there was nothing else going on for us to watch. But having the superstars be able to take a break makes their returns that much more special when it comes time for them to come back.
And another thing that I want to say that I heard from that Triple H interview that he did with Ariel Helwani, or, you know, I always fail at pronouncing his last name. But he said that he said the AEW beat their developmental brand. And I feel like that comment wasn't good coming from Triple H.
Because we know that NXT was the third brand. When you made it to Survivor Series, bro, it was personal. It was the third brand.
What I'm saying is I've always viewed NXT as developmental. I always said when AEW fans were happy about beating NXT, I'm like, you know, you beat WWE's developmental. But Triple H didn't view NXT as developmental. He viewed it as the third brand. So now that AEW beat you guys on Wednesday night, they're the developmental. So I felt like that was a little, you know, was a little conceited on his behalf.
But it's like, all right, Triple H, you can say what you want to say. We know what you thought it was. Survivor Series proved what it was.
That was, in my opinion,
that was one of the best Survivor Series.
Yes.
Oh my God, it was so good.
The last great, like, in my opinion, 5-on-5 elimination match at Survivor Series was the Survivor Series that Brock and Goldberg main evented, where it was Roman and Seth. Roman and Seth. And KO and Chris Jericho and Braun Strowman versus Dean, Bray Wyatt, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, and Shane McMahon. I think that was like the last great 5-on-5 Survivor Series, because that was the first time we were really seeing Survivor Series go back to this, you know, brand versus brand. And the match went on for like 45 minutes.
Right.
So that was the last great, great Survivor Series. I mean, there's been great ones after that, but that match is just, it stands the test of time. Like, I could go back on Peacock and rewatch that shit, and just, it's as great the second time as it was the first.
Right.
Well,
that is
I think we touched on a lot.
We hit everything, and you guys didn't have to wait 3 months to hear it.
We're gonna try to put out some more, another one next week. We got Texas kicking this field goal kick.
And is it good?
It's good.
Oh,
good.
It's 19-17?
19-17, Texas.
So everybody watching the Alabama game, or if you're a Longhorn fan, good luck to y'all.
Yep.
I don't know who's going to win this one. That's it for this episode, Fonz. Thanks for joining me. And we'll see you in the next one.
Well, hopefully we'll have Max back next time. He's kind of having, you know, hopefully not having complications with his
Max was just sleeping. He was sleeping. He's
okay,
good.
So he's not shitting. He's not shitting anymore. Okay.
He's good.
I thought I was gonna have to send y'all some Pepto-Bismol for him to take or something.
But
we're out of here.
Stay tuned to the Half Right Podcast.